I want to say thank you for being here for part three of our message series called Uphill Habits. We're going to have a great time with this. If you want to take out your message notes, and we'll get into the message this morning. And yeah, I'm just so glad that you're here. Tell you what, turn to somebody beside you, touch them real lightly, tap them and say, I'm glad that you're here today. Because he's going to say something you need to hear. Some of you didn't sound too convinced. I tell you what, the other person on the other side, touch them real lightly and say, I'm glad you're here too. He's definitely got something for you. We're going to have a good time. We're talking about this Uphill Habits, and the reason that we're calling it Uphill Habits is because how many of you know that we all start out at the beginning of the year wanting to do some things, incorporate some things in your life? So, you know, we all start out with uphill hopes, and then the things that are already integrated into our life, those habits that maybe shouldn't be there or, you know, just aren't really ideal, tend to pull us back down. And so what we want to do is flip the script on that, and we want to give you some uphill habits that are going to get you to where God wants you to be for 2018. You know, I want to say this again, and I don't want us to forget this. 2018 is going to be your best year. I believe that, you know. And listen, I'm not pretending that life doesn't happen, but how many of you know, in spite of life happening, Jesus is still Lord. He is still on the throne. He is in control of our lives because we submit our lives to him. And so we can just say, Lord, thank you that 2018 is going to be my best year. But here's the thing that you need to understand is that it's not all on God. We have a part to play in this too. And so we have to do our part as well as trust and believe God. So these habits that we want to build into our lives are very, very important. And let me just review for a couple of moments some things that we've already covered. You know, we said this, that you are what you repeatedly do. You know, the habits that you've built into your life are who you are. They make up who you are. Another way of saying it is this, is that we form our habits and then our habits form us. And so it's really important that we as believers in Christ, that we have the kind of habits in our lives that please God to help us to become who God wants us to be. And so, as I mentioned a moment ago, if you're writing things down, jot this down, and I'm doing this every week because I want us to get this in us, but that is this. Most people have uphill hopes and downhill habits at the same time, and we're going to reverse that. We're going to get you going on some uphill habits so you can receive everything that God has for you. Let's look at our foundation scripture for this series found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and I'm reading from the Message Bible, and it says this, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. In other words, that we've gotten so accustomed to what's going on around us that it's become habit for us and we don't even have to think about it anymore. Instead, he says, fix your attention on God. Turn to somebody and say, fix your attention on God. And look what he said will happen. When you fix your attention on God, you'll be changed from the inside out. And here's what we try and do a lot of times is we want to change from the outside in. It doesn't work that way. You got to have a change on the inside, and then it works its way out. And he says, readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of maturity. You know, I've said this before, and you know, I don't mean this to be a downer, but listen, there is no such thing as neutral. You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. The culture of this world is either pulling you back or you're determining with God's help to go forward. And here's the good news of all of this is that these uphill habits are God habits and that God will help you accomplish them. And so he says this, that unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you. God sees what's down on the inside of you and he wants to bring that out of us. And so he develops well-formed maturity in us. So we're going to work, and we've already accomplished some things. This is our third week, so we've talked about two habits already. So let's review. Here's habit number one. We said this, that in 2018, you need to build a habit. I need to build a habit of drawing close, coming close to God. We need to make up our minds. I'm going to get as close to God as I possibly can. You know, the world's going to tempt you to want to see how far you can get without falling over the edge. Let's don't do that this year. Let's make up our minds that, you know what, I'm going to go all in. I'm going to go 100%. You know, like they say, go big or go home. So let's make up our minds that we're going all in for Jesus, that we're going to do it all this year, and he's going to have 100% of us, and we're going to get as close to him as we possibly can. Last week, we said that this habit number two is that we have to learn to control our thoughts. You've got to learn to control your thinking. And here's why. It's so important. We just read it in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. But here's the thing. I will never change my life until I change the way I think. You know, stinking thinking produces a bad life. And so what we want to do is we want to change our thinking because, again, it goes from the inside out. And so we have to change our thinking so that we can experience change in our lives. Here's another way of saying it, and that is this. Change does not begin in the doing. It begins in the thinking. And so whatever changes we're wanting to keep incorporated into our lives, whatever habits, we're going to have to change our thinking in those areas. So let's look at habit number three, and I'm really excited about this one because I feel very passionately about this, and our church is very passionate about this, and that is this, is that I want you to make a habit this year to keep yourself aligned with your purpose. Keep yourself aligned with your purpose. Is there anybody in here, you ever been to the chiropractor? Okay, many of us have. You might understand, for those of you who have not, chiropractors, what they do, and maybe some massage therapists do this as well, but really what they focus on is that the alignment of your spine and your body. And what happens is we're living life and doing things. We might do something, especially the older that you get, you know, and it might throw your back out of alignment a little bit. And here's the thing that's interesting about that is you can be experiencing a pain down here, and you go see a chiropractor and you tell him the pain that you're experiencing, and he'll say, oh, no, it's not down there. It's because something is out of alignment here. And he goes and pops it back into place, and all of a sudden the pain disappears. See, that's what's called referred pain. It's actually not pain in the area that you feel it. It's pain caused by something else. And here's what I want you to see is that a lot of times we experience pain in areas of our lives, and it's not necessarily where we sense and feel the pain. It's because our lives are out of alignment. We're out of alignment with God's purpose and his plan for our lives. And what I want us to do is to make up our minds that in 2018, not only am I going to discover what God's purpose is for my life, but I'm going to keep my life aligned with that. Now, I want to give you three reasons why this is so important. Three reasons why this is so important. If you're writing this down, write this down. Here's number one, because you and I have a purpose. You have a purpose. You have a reason that you are here in the earth at this moment. I say this all the time, but Mark Twain said this. He said, the two most important days of your life are, number one, the day that you're born, and number two is the day you find out why. And all of us are here. None of us are here by accident. Somebody says, but my parents said I was an accident. Listen, you might have been an accident with your parents, but you weren't an accident to God. You didn't catch God off guard. He didn't go, whoa, I didn't see them coming. No, he knew you were here. The Bible says that he knew you and formed you before you were even born. And so he has a great purpose and a plan for your lives. Let's look at a couple of scriptures that highlight this. Let's look at Psalm 139 and verse 16. Reading from the Bible in basic English, it says this, your eyes, God, saw my unformed substance. In your book, all my days are already recorded. Isn't that interesting? In heaven, there is a book where all of your days are already recorded, even those which were purposed before they had come into being. Somebody said, but I've made a bunch of bad decisions in my life. Here's the good news. Yeah, you might have inserted a bunch of chapters in that book that maybe God didn't want you to have there. But here's the good news. When you get yourself aligned back with his purpose, guess what? He writes the final chapter. He's the one that determines your mistakes don't have to identify you. Your sins and your failures don't have to become a part of who you are. Rewrite the book. Get it in line with God's writing, and God will write the final chapter for you. And notice that everything that he purposed for your life, he's already recorded. So he's got in mind what he wants you to do, what he wants you to be, and everything for his purpose. Look at this scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, for we are God's handiwork. You're God's handiwork. One translation says you're God's masterpiece. You're a work of art. Turn to somebody and say, I am one of a kind. turn to the who they said that to, you look back at them and say, thank God. Okay? Now, you are one of a kind, and what that means is you are so rare and so valuable. I want to say a word. You are priceless. There's no way a price could be put on you because you are one of a kind. You are a masterpiece created by the Heavenly Father. And so he says this, we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus. Why? To do good works. Notice this, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has prepared things in advance for you and me to do. And so, young folks, I want to encourage you. If you're younger here today, we've got a few young folks in the room. Listen, go ahead now and find out what your purpose is. Don't wait until you're my age to discover your purpose. But if you are older in here, listen, there's good news. It's never too late. It's never too late. Let me hear it from the older, maturer people. Ones with a little more gray. Yes. It's never too late to discover your purpose. We need to find out what our purpose is. Here's something that's really cool. I heard this said, and I want you to get this. It's this, that God created what he wanted you to do first, then he made you. Isn't that awesome? He dreamed up a purpose for your life, a plan for your life, and then he created you to fulfill it. He didn't create you and then go, oh man, what could I get them to do? Well, you know, that's kind of tough. No, he created this plan, created this purpose, and then put it there. And then I love what the scripture says. It talks about this in referring to Jesus, but the same thing is true for us. Because it says that he knew us before the foundation of the world. And so what he did when he created Jesus, or when Jesus was born, it says, in the fullness of time, Jesus came. Here's what God did for you. He created this plan for your life, set it aside for you, and waited for the fullness of time to come to pass so that you could be born. Listen, it is no accident that you're alive here on January the 21st in 2018. You could have been born in any time, any day, in any point in history, but God wanted you here now. Why? Because there's something awesome that you have to do. And listen, none of us will be complete if you don't do it. So God created a purpose for you, and then he waited for you to show up to fulfill it. Now, here's something that we kind of maybe fall into this trap, and we get into default mode. Those of you who are kind of tech-minded, you know what default mode is. You know, if anything ever goes crazy with my phone or my laptop or anything like that, you know, I can always reset it back to the factory default settings, you know, and then kind of just start over. And that's kind of the way a lot of us are living. We're allowing the world and other people and circumstances and situations in our lives to determine what is our default setting. And here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you to live by design and not by default. I want you to live by design and not by default. Why? Because you have a purpose. Here's the next one. That is this, because there is competition for my time and attention. I need to stay aligned with God's purpose in my life because there is competition for my time and attention. How many of you know in the world that we live in today, man, stuff is screaming at you all the time trying to get your attention, yelling at us, and just fighting for our attention, fighting for us to go in that direction. And we need to know that there's a lot of time that is being competed for in our lives. And what we've got to do is we've got to learn to make some wise decisions. I heard this, that somebody said, an overwhelmed schedule will always produce an underwhelmed soul. Ooh, that's one of those things, you know, makes you go, everybody say it with me, You know, that you really think about that and you go, wow, you know, how busy are you? How busy is your schedule? Because the more your schedule is overwhelmed, the more underwhelmed your spirit and your soul are going to be. I love what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. He said this, and yet, look at this, better to have one handful with quietness. Now, the world has a saying, let me stop and say this. The world has a saying that says this, if a little is good, then more is. Okay, it was an open book test. I just gave you the answer. Here we go. If a little is good, then more is. Nah, this side over here, you all didn't get it. If a little is good, then more is
better.
Okay. See, the world wants you to go, 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 so you can get more and more and more and more. And what Solomon is telling us is it's better maybe to have one handful with some peace and some quiet than to live with two handfuls with hard work and chasing the wind. Anybody ever tried to chase the wind? Sometimes in the year, like in the springtime, you know, March or when the spring winds are coming in, you ever been out in the parking lot and dropped a bunch of papers and tried to chase them across the parking lot to pick them up? It's crazy because you're chasing the wind. And see, a lot of us are trying to live life chasing the wind. We're like those folks that are out there chasing those pieces of paper. And by the time you reach down to pick it up, here comes another gust of wind and blows it away from you. And so Solomon says, better to have one handful and have peace and quietness, he said, than to be chasing the wind and be trying to get two handfuls all the time. So we need to understand that I have a purpose. We need to understand there is competition for my time. And so I need to keep my life aligned with God's purpose. And here's the third reason, and that's this: because time is short. Time is short. Now, in two aspects, time is short. The older that I get, the more I realize how fast time is going. You know, I've said this to you before, but I remember being a younger person, and some of the older folks who are my age now, you know, that I thought were really old back then, you know, they used to tell me, hey, wait till you get older, because time is going to just absolutely seem like it's flying by. And you know what? I've discovered it's absolutely the truth. And what is it? We still have the same 24 hours a day, the same 7 days a week. I mean, nothing changed. Time didn't get condensed or anything like that. But really, it's because we're realizing time is short and it is flying by faster than we can possibly keep up, especially in the day and the time that we live in today. And so we need to understand that time is short, but also from another aspect, and that is this, that we who follow Christ, we have what's called the blessed hope, and that is this, that Jesus is coming soon. He promised us in the Word that He was going to return one day, and there are all kinds of signs and indications that He put throughout the Word of God to show us that it is time. And folks, I can tell you without fear of contradiction that we are in the last of the last days. Not to try to scare you, but listen, it is true. Jesus is coming back again. We're almost at the end of this age, and so not only is time quick and short for us as human beings, but also in the church, we need to realize that time is short. Let me show you a scripture from James chapter 4. James says this. He said, and really what he's indicating is a real casual attitude. He says this: now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city and we'll spend a year there, we'll carry on business, and we'll just do whatever. We'll just go here, we'll go there, we'll make a little money, we'll live, and we'll do all of this. And he goes on to say, why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. And that's true. We really don't know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You know, when we were having all that cold weather, when it was so extremely cold and my heat was running so much at home, you know, I had to go out and buy a humidifier. Anybody ever had to get a humidifier? I love humidifiers. You know why? Because I can be fascinated by it and just watch the steam. And I'm like a kid. I put my hand over it and play in the steam and stuff. But here's one thing that I've noticed is that when that thing is sitting there and it's pumping that steam out, that steam goes like this and then it's gone. It disappears. And that's what he's saying. That's what James is saying. He says, what is your life? You're a mist that appears for just a little while and then vanishes. He said, instead, we ought to be saying, you know what? I'm going to do this if this is what God wants me to do. I'm going to be doing this if this is what God's purpose is for my life. In other words, he said this, if it's the Lord's will, we'll live and we'll do this or we'll do that. And so we need to make that our priority. We need to maybe be a little more focused on what we're doing and maybe not so casual. And so that's three reasons that we need to keep our lives aligned with the purpose of God. So, you know, if you want to flip your notes over, let's look at how do we master this habit. I want to give you some practical things that you can do. How can I master this habit. Here's the first thing that you need to do, and this may sound simple, but don't let it throw you, and that is this: decide what is important. Decide what is important. There's a lot of things that are good, but they're not necessarily important, that need to be a part of our lives. See, what a lot of us are living this way, a lot of our lives are not being defined by the important, it's being defined by the urgent. And there are going to be things that are going to declare that they're urgent. You remember the old saying, you know, your lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. You know, you got to say that with some attitude, you know. But it's true. It really is true, because things will be happening all the time that seem urgent, but really, are they all that important? You know, as a point of review, I've shared this with you before in the past, but let me help you with maybe understanding from the Bible standpoint what your priorities are to all to be in life. Actually, you guys look like you could use a little smile right now, so let me tell you a Bubba joke, okay? Because Bubba had his priorities kind of messed up, all right? So Bubba got tickets, and he went to the Super Bowl. You know, the Super Bowl's in a couple of weeks, and so Bubba went to the Super Bowl, and man, he had ideal seats. He was right on the 50-yard line, about halfway up on that first section. I mean, he could see everything great. And so this guy came and sat next to him, except it was Bubba and his empty seat, and then this guy. And the guy turned to him. He said, hey, man, who's that seat for? He said, that seat was for my wife, but she done died, so she ain't going to be here. And he said, well, man, I'm really sorry to hear that. He said, but golly, do you think, you know, maybe you could have given that? I mean, these seats cost thousands of dollars. He said, do you think you could have given that seat to a family member or something like that? And Bubba said, no, I couldn't do that. The guy said, why not? He said, because they're all at the funeral. That's going to dawn on some of y'all on the way home, okay? Bubba had his priorities out of whack. Get her done, all right? Let me help you with some priorities. Let me show you how to set some priorities up based on the Word of God. So if these aren't in your notes, if you want to write these down, these will be for you. Here we go. Number one, your first priority needs to be your relationship with God. Nothing is more important than your relationship with God. Nothing, bar nothing. Nothing is more important than your relationship with God. Secondly is your relationship with your spouse. If you're married in here today, your spouse comes second only to God. Okay? So it's your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse, and then third, your relationship with your kids, your children. Okay? Notice your children do not come before your spouse. Hello? Okay? So it's God, your spouse, your children. Somebody says, well, what if I'm not married and I don't have any children? Well, I got you covered too, okay? Your next one is your relationship with your church. See, your relationship with your local church is more important than the other things that follow in just a second. So your relationship with God, your spouse, your children, your church, and then your job. Your job is your next priority. See, a lot of people place their job above even their children or their spouse. And your lives get all messed up when all these priorities are out of whack. And I don't have time to go through the Bible and show you these things, but if you will, just indulge me and trust me that this is the way the Bible says that your priorities need to be. And then lastly is your social life. Somebody said, whoo, my social life, that needs to be way up. No, your social life comes after all that. See, some of us get in trouble because we put our social life ahead of our job. Hello. And you can't do that. All right? Hey, if you're married, your social life does not come before your spouse. I need me some time with the boys. No, you don't. Nah, there's nothing wrong with a little guy time as long as she gets a little girl time. All right? But these are the priorities that God outlines for us in His Word. And what I want to encourage you to do is to measure your life and maybe look at these priorities and see where things fall in your life. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 says this, but whatever were gains. Paul said this. He said, I have evaluated my life and I've looked over it and I've looked at the things that I thought were really important. The things that I thought were really adding to my life. He said, I now consider them loss for the sake of Christ. In other words, I've evaluated my life and those things that were so important to me, now that I know Jesus, they're not so important to me anymore. And he goes on to say, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of, in comparison to, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, knowing Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. So what I want you to do is I want you to evaluate your life and to decide what is important, and maybe it might be necessary. I'm just saying, you might need to drop some stuff. You might need to cut some things. You might need to look at, maybe this isn't so important and it's not that necessary in my life. Here's the second thing that I want you to do in building this habit, and that's this: give calendar time to the important things. Give calendar time to the important things. Now, all of us, I think, probably keep a schedule or have a calendar maybe on your phone or something. You know, it might be a piece of paper, whatever. But make a schedule. Schedule things that are important to you. In other words, let me say this. If you don't schedule some time with God, you won't take it. Because here's why. Stuff comes up. I mean, if you look at my phone, every morning I have it scheduled for quiet time with God. But it is amazing to me how, even though that is on my schedule, and I have to work hard not to do this, I can't look at my emails. Because you know why? Because something always pops up in my email that requires my attention. And so I'm like, well, I'll just knock this out real quick. And then the next thing I do, there's three or four things that have happened. I'll just go put this load of laundry in, or you know, I'll do this or I'll do that. And next thing I know, I've eaten away from my time with God. And so what we have to do is we have to schedule time for those things that are important. So you need to schedule time for your relationship with God. Husbands, you need to schedule date nights. I'm giving y'all some free help here, and I ain't hearing nothing from the marriage people. If you're married, you need to plan some date nights. Amen. Well, thank you for that one amen. Okay? Why? Because you need to make that a priority and schedule it. Put it on your calendar because that's important. You need to schedule some time for your kids. You need to schedule some time to have fun. God doesn't mind you having fun, by the way. You need to understand that. God loves when you have fun. Listen, He loves what brings you joy. And He loves us and cares about us that much, but you need to schedule. Here's what David wrote in Psalm 90, verse 12. He said this: teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. In other words, let's realize we've all got the same amount of time. We've all got 24 hours a day. And so we've all got the same amount of time. And he says this, and it should be us, but help us to spend them as we should, he said. Help us to spend those days as we should. So let's plan. Let's do some things on purpose. So let me give you three little things under this. So as you're scheduling, what's important? Here we go. The first one is make time for renewal. Make time for renewal. You need to be renewed. You need to be renewed. There's a principle that God taught us starting in the Old Testament. And by the way, it has not gone away just because it's in the Old Testament. And that is this: the principle of the Sabbath. Okay? Now, I'm not going to argue with you whether the Sabbath ought to be Saturday or Sunday. Listen, for some folks, it needs to be Tuesday because of the way their schedule is. You know, nurses or whatever, your schedule might be all different than what's normal, but you need to pick a day that becomes your Sabbath. Somebody says, well, Sunday is my Sabbath, and that's great. And you know, listen, for those of us who serve in church, what we have to do is we have to be mindful that when we come, we serve, and God does something on the inside of us. But listen, and just helpful, I'm being real practical. Don't plan a lot of stuff on Sunday afternoon after you leave here. That's why we quit. We used to, back in the day, do Sunday night services. And I kicked them to the curb. You know why? Because I was tired of killing myself and killing the people. Because we were doing something just for the sake of doing it. Now, if you do Sunday night services, that's fine. That's your business. I'm just saying, because there's coming a point where we're going to be doing multiple services in the morning, and I'm not going to expect our folks to come and do three services on Sunday morning and come back and do a Sunday evening service and then get mad at them because they don't show up. Am I helping anybody? Why? Because I want you to take some time for you. You need a Sabbath time where you just chill. You know, I think sometimes We need to get back to the days. And I can remember this being a kid back in the 60s. I know it's hard to believe that I'm that old, but I can remember being a kid back in the 60s. Jeff, what are you laughing about? How many of you remember this? On Sundays, you couldn't go shopping. First of all, malls didn't exist, but you couldn't go to the shopping center. Everything was closed. The only thing that was open, and I did like this, was the 7-Eleven, because you could go and get a Slurpee after church. But anyway, I like that, but everything else was closed. You might be able to buy some gas, but, you know, everything was closed. And I think maybe, you know, and I like, listen, somebody says, well, do you ever go buy stuff on Sundays? Yeah, I go buy stuff on Sundays. But, some part of me says maybe we need to kind of go back to some of that, because we don't have any days, you know. And listen, how many of you grew up where you didn't make much noise on Sunday? You didn't go out and cut the grass on Sunday? I mean, none of that kind of stuff. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And the quickest way to get in trouble is to be playing and making a bunch of noise and stuff. Or be outside in the summertime and the windows are up and you out there hollering and stuff. Hey, sit down somewhere. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I think maybe we need to get back to a little bit of that and calm our lives down some. Here's the second thing, second principle. Well, let me go back. Let me read the scripture to you. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, he says, Paul says, but yet inwardly we're being renewed. How often? Day by day. So we need to make it a point. We got to be renewed. Here's the next one. Make time for relationships. Kind of talked about that already in your priorities, but you need to make time for your relationships. Work on your relationships. You know, spend time, invest time. And, you know, hey, fellas, put some money in the love bank, if you know what I'm talking about. Thank you for that one amen. He knows what I'm talking about, all right? Because there's going to come a time when you need to make some withdrawals, and if you ain't made no deposits, you're going to bounce some. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Here we go. And here's the third thing I want you to do is make time for your heavenly reward. Make time for your heavenly reward. Maybe set aside some time where you're investing eternally into somebody else's life. Are you making a difference eternally for somebody else's life? Because after all, you know, when it's all said and done and the smoke settles, we're all going to stand before Jesus. And this is what we all want to hear Jesus say. His master replied to him, say it with me, well done, good and faithful servant. And see, it's when our priorities are right and where they need to be, and we've taken time for relationships, we've, you know, maybe rested when we need to rest, and then we've invested in people for eternal things, and we've, you know, kind of worked on our heavenly reward a little bit. That's when we're going to stand before Jesus, and he's going to say, well done. So here's the third step you can do. Eliminate the non-essentials. Eliminate the non-essentials. So you got to schedule time. You got to make time for what's important. First of all, you got to decide what's important, but then you got to eliminate the non-essentials. And I'm going to say this, and I say this with all due respect. There might be some people in your life that are non-essential. And I'm not saying be rude and mean and all of that, but there's, you know, one thing that I have found, again, the more mature, I'm going to stop saying the older I get, the more mature I become, is that I don't need people in my life that suck the life out of me. And I'm not mean, I'm not rude, but I just, you know what? There's some folks you need to love from afar. Okay? You know, so there might be some non-essential relationships that we just need to maybe love from afar. Look what Paul said in Hebrews 12:1. He said this, let us throw off everything that hinders us. And he's not even talking about sin, because he goes on to say, and the sin. See, there are things in our lives that slow us up in the race of life that we just need to strip off and let go of. I'm not even talking about the sins and stuff. That's a separate issue. But there are maybe some non-essential things in our lives that are holding us back, and we need to let those things go. And he says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And here's the fourth step that I want you to do, and that's this. Regularly take inventory. Regularly take inventory. You know, it's great at the beginning of the year to make decisions and to build uphill habits like we're working, but you know what? It's going to take maintenance throughout the year. It's going to take time for us to maybe stop and inventory our lives every now and then and examine our lives. You know, the Bible's full of scriptures that tell us to examine ourselves. And, you know, David even wrote in the Psalms, he said, Lord, examine my heart. You help me look, Lord, at my heart. Are there some things that are in my life that really don't need to be a part of my life because I'm going somewhere. I want to stay aligned with your purpose. And there's some things maybe that are keeping that from happening. And Jesus, I need you to show me those things so that I stay aligned with your purpose. Here's a prayer that David wrote in the Psalms. And I want you to kind of make this maybe your prayer for today. And then we're going to pray in just a moment. And I want to pray for you. Because I believe all of us are maybe making some decisions, not maybe at this moment, but I believe we will as we think about these things. But look at this in Psalm 39. David said this, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You've made my life no longer than the width of my hand, it seems, he said, but my entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is just a breath. And so David is really encouraging us to stop for a moment and examine our lives and to take inventory and to say, okay, first of all, are there some things in my life that are keeping me from my purpose? And I want to just really pray for you today, and I'm going to ask God to do something really important, and that is I want him to reveal to you and help you find your purpose. That's one thing that we're passionate about at our church is helping people find, why are you here? And then once God reveals that to you, I want you to make every determined effort that you can to keep your life aligned with that purpose. Will you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time that we've had together today. And Lord, I pray for these wonderful people, everybody here under the sound of my voice in this room. Father, Lord, I know you've said so many times that you have such great plans for our lives, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, Lord, that you have destined us for greatness in your kingdom. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that if there's anybody here that doesn't know what their purpose is, that maybe they just seem like they're floundering through life, just kind of trying to figure out why I'm here. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would reveal to them how you have made them and what their purpose is, Father, and why they're here in the earth. Because, Lord, it's necessary for us to know that so that we can walk it out and then we can keep our life aligned with that purpose. And so, Father, I thank you for doing that. I thank you for moving in each of their lives, Lord, to reveal that purpose. And so, Father, in addendum to that, adding to that, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that you would help each and every one of us to examine our lives, to see where maybe our lives aren't quite aligned with that purpose. Whatever you've called us to do, whatever you've destined for us to do, Father, show us those things and help us, Lord, to keep every area of our lives aligned. Father, I thank you for helping us to keep our priorities right, our relationships right, to help us, Father, to build a habit of wanting to stay and to pursue after your purpose and what you've designed for us to do. And I thank you for doing it, Lord. I praise you for it. And Father, I just believe that 2018 is going to be a year of purpose for us. And Father, we're going to walk out the things in our lives that you have planned ahead of time for us to see and do. And I thank you for it. Now, Father, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that maybe hasn't surrendered their life to you, that hasn't committed their lives to Jesus Christ, Father, I pray that you would help me find them today. Lord, if there's anybody here that maybe has given their heart to you, but their heart's grown cold towards the things of God and they're not walking with you like they should or maybe even want to, Father, I ask you to help me find them today. Draw them by your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for doing it. If you're here today and with every head bowed and no one looking around. I want to ask you a couple of quick questions. If you're here today and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you have never received the free gift of God's grace, His mercy, and His love for you that He poured out on a cross for every single one of us some 2,000 years ago. God loves you so much that when He was hanging on that cross, when Jesus was dying for us, He had each and every one of us on His mind and in His heart. Somebody says, but I've just messed up too bad. My life is too much of a mess. No, listen, you need to understand something about God. He wants you just as you are. He wants you to come exactly the way you are with all of your issues, with all of your baggage, all of your hangups. And what He will do is He'll jump right in the middle of your life with you and help you work all those things out. He loves us so much. You might be here today and you know you need to return to the Lord, maybe recommit your life to Jesus, and the enemy's lying to you and tell you, you know what? He doesn't want you back. You've messed up 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 times. Jesus doesn't want you back. I want you to understand something. That's a lie. That Jesus is pursuing you right now. And all He needs you to do is just turn your heart back towards Him. And I like to say it this way. All you have to do is just come back home. Be like the prodigal son and just turn your heart back towards home. And I love what Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 15. He said that the Father would run towards you. He would fall on you with His mercy and grace and embrace you. And the Bible even says, Jesus went on to say that He kissed the face of His son when He returned home. And I can imagine it was dirty, it was unclean, all of those things, but it didn't matter to the Father. And I want you to know it doesn't matter to God. He just wants you to come back to Him. I'd love to pray for you today. If you need to give your heart to Christ for the first time, or if you need to recommit your life to the Lord, I would love to pray with you today. And I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out in any way. But I do need you to take a simple step of faith, and that is just raise your hand. And by doing that, you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. Pray for me today. I want to give my life to Christ for the first time, or I want to recommit my life to the Lord. If that's you, just put your hand up real quick. Let me see it. Let Jesus see it. Church, if you believe in what we're doing, will you pray this prayer with me and say it so loud you can hear it with your own ears? Say, Lord Jesus, I believe You died for me. I believe You were raised from the dead. I believe You paid the price for my sin. Come into my heart. I make You my Lord and Savior. Wash me clean in Your blood. Thank You for forgiving me. Thank You for giving me a brand new start. I believe that I am clean. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Church, can we celebrate for a moment for those who prayed that prayer?